One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Yo, welcome back to the show. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Good morning.
And what's your name again? Bob something?
All right. I felt so dejected. I was just needlessly mean.
Anyways, this episode, we got some listener input, some questions, some topics that were thrown out to us. Before we do that, though, got to talk about last Saturday. I had a show over at the Ken Club.
This is a good story. Yes.
Man. And, I have a place I was very familiar with. I played that for at a show there for like 6 years.
So this guy, it was not for my stand-up. It was for my little fake band that I have. And They came to us and they asked us to do a show there.
Now, all three of us are very familiar with the venue. It's a cool venue. It's a great spot.
Yeah.
So here's what it is. Let's be honest with it. It is a room that is great for being a venue because it has one of those rare situations where the bar is separate
from the room.
From the theater room. So you can go up and order drinks and you're not interrupting everybody. And they have a good sound system and stuff. Downside, not a lot of maintenance in this bar since the mid-20s or so. So a lot of things falling off the walls and stuff. And
it smells like pee.
Also, good luck getting foot traffic. Like, anybody who's coming is coming because you invited them.
Right.
So we did fill the place, but that's not the issue here. Is that the owner and booker, same guy, very unresponsive gentleman.
Yes.
All right?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Notoriously.
Notoriously doesn't know who's playing at his own bar when.
When Ryan first asked me, he's like, hey, can I get the contact for the Ken Club? I want to set up a show there. I was like, yep, absolutely. Here you go. Just so you know, lead time on responses is about 3 to 6 weeks. Like, when you text, I'm not meaning before to get an actual spot. I mean, when you text him, vis-a-vis when you get a text back, will be about that much time.
Right. And you know what? After I'd done that show, I did get a hold of him, but he came to us and said, I want you guys here. And I was like, okay, great. This is going to change everything because now that he has come to us, that means when I speak to him, he'll speak back finally.
Oh,
not so much.
Sweet summer child.
Yeah. So leading up to the show, I mean 2 months, we're like, hey, how many bands you want on the show? Red. It's on social media, so you can see he's seen it.
Right.
Seen. Hey, what time do you want the show to start? Red. Hey, how long do you want the show to be? Red. When's the absolute last time? When do we have to be out of there by state law? Red. I'm like, all right. Hey,
just silly boy. No laws are followed in that place. Yeah.
I'm like, all right. Well, tell you what, man. Since I haven't heard from you in 6 weeks, here's the flyer we made. It says 7 p.m., $10. All good? Red. And then finally, a week after that, yeah, looks good, man. Sounds good. See you then. Fine.
Okay.
So promotion goes by. We do videos. We do paid advertisements. We do pre-sale tickets. All advertising that doors at 7, show starts at 8. And all of a sudden, I'm in Arizona last week for my show. And I get a text from Mr. Juan Grooves.
This is the day before your Fiend show, right?
Day before of the show. And I'm in my dressing room. I get a text from John saying,
that's a really nice way to call a porta potty.
That's why you're disrespected at the top of the show. Shit like that.
You just made my list. Anyways,
Arya Stark.
Anyways, I get a text in my little dressing room, which I posted online. It was a fucking steel desk from the 70s in a fucking stucco room. And John goes, hey, man, how's your show going? Have you gone on stage yet? And I went, no, I'm going on in about 20 minutes. He goes, okay, never mind. and then someone else texts me, it's all bad. I guess within, like...
By the way, good job, Groobs. Like, that is the right way to handle
it.
You don't want to try and put that on somebody right before
they're
walking.
Yeah,
like, I'll walk on stage. Good job, Groobs.
Absolutely.
Apparently, the venue finally decided to pay attention to what was going on and went, oh, by the way, guys, 7 o'clock? No good. Nah, we're not even opening until 9. 2 months! 2 months they've had the information.
We're not. Well, first of all, I ran a show there at 7 p.m. What do you mean you're not open till 9? What does that even mean?
Well, he's like, the bartenders won't be there. But then he also said, oh, we have a blues band that I can't. I always have a blues band every Saturday from 7 to 9. But the bartenders won't be there. He gave us all this conflicting. Are you not running a business?
No, he's not.
Absolutely not.
How is this place still open?
It's still cash only in 2019. I've been there before where this has literally happened on more than one occasion because they just let dogs in. There's no rules. It's like
international waters.
It really is.
It's maritime law in there.
At one point, one of the bartenders had to leave, and then they just go, "Hey, you," and pointed to one of the patrons. "Do you watch the bar?" And the patron was like, "All right." And then he's like, "I really want to go get a smoke." So he literally put his dog behind the bar and left. And I was like, "Okay, the dog is in charge of this bar."
I would have loved to walk into the bar at that moment.
You probably would have gotten better service.
Now, this is also a bar. Keep in mind, they changed their hours of operation
every day
because the staff didn't want to work at a certain time.
Yeah. Yeah. They just said, "I'm not coming at 2 anymore because I don't want to." And he's like, "Okay."
And on a killer location, too. That's what's funny. The actual physical space is really amazing, and it's in a killer location.
Anyways, Bobby, you were telling me before we turn the mics on here, there's a lady that outed herself as being an idiot. Tell me more.
I love when people do this when they go on social media and they say something trying to make a point, but they end up showing, exposing part of themselves to everybody else. It'd be like,
I love exposing part of myself to people.
I equate it to, the super conservative congressperson who's like, "Of course it's a choice to be gay. We'd all choose it if we could, but, why are you being so greedy and being gay? Everybody wants to. Just do what Jesus wants." And you're like, "Bro, I think maybe we got a bigger conversation to have."
I feel like you just said something very telling.
Yeah. The comedian posted this online, and I thought it was really funny because, again, I think it exposes something that this person didn't realize. So this was actually a Facebook post of a Twitter post, and the Twitter post was something like, "My mom used to study cults in college, and when I asked her, 'How is it that you can avoid getting sucked into a cult?' she told me, 'Whatever you do, don't ever debate them, because they know the arguments that convince them, and then therefore they'll convince you. So don't ever debate them.'" And
now, time out real quick.
Yeah.
This is why I have always wanted to stop by a Scientology center to fuck with them. We have one downtown.
Yeah.
And every time I see it, I'm always tempted. I'm like, I just want to go in and fuck with them a little bit, but I don't, because I know that they will fucking trick me into it and I'll just get sucked right in.
I've felt the same way too. Is like, I'm like, all right, I'll go in there and fuck with them, but how many words would it take till all of a sudden, before I know it, I'm wearing a chauffeur
exactly hat, yeah,
and I'm just driving around John Travolta like, "Balcony, yeah, sir, wherever you want to go,"
checking my thetan levels,
oh man, that really made sense at the
yeah
time.
No, of course.
Well, she was using it to make a broader point, like, we shouldn't debate the alt-right. And I was like, first of all, that's a stupid point. Yes, you should always debate bad ideas. That's the whole point. Otherwise you're not contesting bad ideas that are put out there, and that's what gives.
See,
them
people, I've seen people fight with you on that point a lot.
I've never seen a smart person do it. I'm just saying, there's never been a smart argument. Maybe there's smart people who have bad arguments, but I've never seen a smart argument.
The point that I see when
I'm
people
not
tell
you're
you,
"You're stupid if you eat at Red Lobster," but I've never seen a smart person in that assessment.
Yeah, I should take that back, because there actually is somebody who I got into a little back and forth with, who I like and I think is smart. I just think he was making a bad argument. Because here's the deal.
Well, I understand when people tell you that they don't want to debate those people, like it's pointless to debate, because you're not going to change their mind.
Yes, but that's not my point. Is that you? As I've said to these people before, the point is not to change that person's mind. The point is you have a public debate that then everybody on the fence sees it. Yes, you're very unlikely to change that person's mind. Same thing with the flat earth debate, right? But what you do is you put this, and this has been shown time and time again in all the research, as one of the ways you change people's minds. It's those people who are on the fence. "Oh, I wonder if something's flat earth. I just saw a confusing YouTube documentary. I'm kind of dumb." You need some kind of public thing out there that disputes all the points made in that. And otherwise, nobody is telling them why the bullshit is bullshit, right? So, you need that there.
Right, but on Facebook, where this usually happens, you don't have, a quote-unquote proper sample size. When you're debating, most of the people seeing that are friends with you or friends with the person you're debating, probably already have their mind made up one way or another.
But it doesn't matter. The point is to make that case in a public setting. You have to refute bad ideas. That's the only way. There's only two ways.
Overruled.
There's only two ways to dispute bad ideas, and that's with better ideas or violence. And so unless you're going to go punch the person, you're going to have to...
Tell me more about this violence.
Yeah, that's preferable. Let's
do
that.
You're going to have to do something like that.
But punch them off the edge of the flat earth.
So one of the things that I brought up is this person just outed themselves as being dumb. Because think about it. I've actually studied a lot of religious cults and stuff. When you talk to them, "Hey, how do I avoid a religious cult?" from an expert. "Oh, you're not an idiot. You'll be fine. You just walk in. You just don't put on the Hare Krishna robe. You'll be good. You have nothing to worry about." The only way your mom would be like, "Don't talk to them," is if she goes, "Oh, you are far too stupid to talk to this person and not get brought in. You need to stay the fuck away. Get just start swinging a sword around wildly so they can't come close to you."
Yeah, right.
Like, honestly, if you think that if you sit down and talk to somebody that you're either going to A, start believing in Thetans, or B, start believing in white supremacy, you have to think you're dumb. Like, yeah.
Oh, I absolutely think I'm dumb.
There is no way a reasonable person can be convinced of those things. So the only, I should not debate them. I agree that dumb people shouldn't debate them. I absolutely agree because I think they do more damage than good. I think if you are smart enough to have good ideas and easily refute bad ones, it's silly not to debate that person because then you're not putting up any kind of counter-argument to what they're saying. It's like if somebody walked around and they're just constantly going, hey, you know white people are better than Asians? Hey, you know white people are better than Asians? If nobody says anything, there's like a yeah, right? There's like a tacit approval. You're not actually confronting the thing and telling them why they're wrong, right? So then, if you're just a regular person in a lobby and you hear that 1,000 times, you're like, man, I mean, I don't know if I agree with them, but I hear white people are better than Asians. I have no idea. I haven't heard anything different.
All right, social experiment. The three of us are going to go down to the Scientology Center. And we'll see how many of us get converted.
That's a big one, though. That's like fucking with the mafia. Can we just do a
I think Bobby's getting taken cult? In. I really think Bobby's getting taken in.
I would gladly.
No, not Bobby.
I will gladly speak with
them. Why would you think Bobby would get taken in?
Listen, you got to take the big odds bet.
Okay.
I'm cashing out on this one.
You're going on the Buster Douglas type bet just in case.
No. My guess would be you, not because you're stupid. I invite you.
That's
very
a factor.
Smart. It's because you always like to do stupid shit for fun. All of a sudden you're like, I can't make the podcast. Someone has asked me to wear a Ron Perlman mask and run around downtown, and I don't know why.
Worth it.
I'm missing the podcast for it. So when someone says, hey, we're going to hook you with this mitochondrions machine, and you can talk to aliens, you'd be like,
and you'd let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's your mentality with everything. Let's do it.
But that is honestly, like, that's the cult mentality. So, like, there are people who are raised in cults. Right, like whether you want to define cults as religion or whatever else, like and they are not necessarily dumb. Sometimes you're very smart. You've just been indoctrinated in this. You're a Mormon. You've been a Mormon since you're a kid. You've never seen anything else, and so you're in that. That does not necessarily make you dumb. However, when you look at all the research on people who convert to these things, who like as a grown-ass adult walk in and be like, yeah, I bet there is mystical spirits that came here in a DC-10 that are taking over my body and making me evil.
Right,
like,
right.
If you get converted at an older age, it's usually because you are either mentally unstable.
I thought you were starting with E. You're either E, or F that.
You are either mentally unstable. You have some like very serious depression, life, home, family problems, or, and this is just a fact, you are on the very tail end of the intelligence spectrum, like the super lower end, and you can get convinced of dumb things, right?
And that goes hand in hand with the self-esteem thing, you know?
Totally.
Because that's the main thing the cults do is like, I bet everyone your whole life said you were stupid, but you're really smart. Well, that's what I think anyway.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Special. Oh,
yeah. Totally. It's the pickup artist at the bar telling the hot girl that she's smart instead of pretty because that's the way to like circumvent the little round.
You watch that show? So anyways.
Now, wait a second. Now on this debate thing though, but here's my frustration because I get into it a little bit once in a while. There's a sliver of my family that is ultra conservative.
Yeah, I got that.
To the point. Were they
I got a majority
still,
of my family that's ultra conservative.
It's 2019. They still post memes attacking Obama.
Oh,
like, that's how conservative they are.
That is so weird. It's done.
Yes.
It's over.
But so every once in a while.
We can only impeach him.
Every once in a while, I'll go back at them. And the posts that they always get, like, likes and a couple, like, oh, yeah, whatever. It's a,
sure.
So agreement.
One like equals one amen.
So they posted one the other day, my aunt did, and it was, like, this stupid meme. Had half of it was a picture of Oprah with, like, a quote saying, like, oh, hey, let's vote for the Democratic Party, even though they're the ones that supported slavery and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side was Trump making his, how stupid are you, face. And so I commented, I'm like, you realize that the parties have switched ideologies since then. Like, the Democrats of then are the Republicans of now.
Sure. Yeah.
No response.
No, of course not.
But that's
you made
still,
a point.
But you still, think about it. Everybody now gets to see that point. Now, look, I make an honest distinction between debating people who want to be debated and don't want to be debated. If somebody doesn't want to be debated, then it's silly. Then you're just like fucking spitting in the wind. There's no reason to do it. But the original post that the woman made was saying, this is why when the alt-right demands to be debated, you shouldn't do it. She also, by the way, said debate was not fair. It's like, what about it isn't fair? What about bringing,
I'm losing.
Yeah, what about bringing your ideas to somebody else's ideas is not fair? The only person who could think about that is somebody who's too dumb to debate. Like, there's no other logical explanation as to why debate would not be quote-unquote fair. or somebody who thinks there's a permanent victim and therefore it's not fair. But, like, the only way to get to those people is to present the counterfacts. So, like, if somebody says, hey, debate me on this issue, if you believe that they are wrong and you think you have enough facts to present a good case, it would be silly not to. You're essentially abandoning a responsibility towards truth and whatever reason you think is important if you do that, right? And it just seems to me that more and more, so I kind of think the way Trump took over the right is he came up with really stupid ideas and there weren't enough people being like, that's a really stupid idea. Like they just kind of went along with it and they're like, all right, we're not going to do round of applause, but we'll do a slow clap because you're on our side, I guess. Yeah. Like we're not going to get pissed. And like, I kind of feel like the left is starting to do that now. And they come up with really dumb ideas that then get echoed through our echo chambers the same way the right has Fox News.
Sure.
And it's like, hey, we shouldn't debate the alt-right. That gives them power. No, it doesn't. Debating them shoots down their shitty ideas. You know what gives them power? Sitting there and going, well, I disagree with you, but debates are unfair, so I'm not going to participate.
Also, kryptonite gives them power.
That's true.
Got to keep away from that shit.
Bizarro Superman.
So, want to transition to a listener request for a topic, which I found very intriguing.
Okay. Now, one thing about this, when you put out the request for topics, most of all of our friends are comedians. When you put out a request like that, 90% of it is just bullshit, stupid ideas where people think they're going to get a laugh out of the three of us.
It's the antithesis of funny. Like, one guy's like, is water wet? And I'm like, you thought of that joke and you thought three professional comedians are going to fall about the place.
And it's just like weeding through all the bullshit to find like a decent one. It's
double-headed dildos. Please discuss.
I didn't even read through it because I was just like, okay, this is all stupid. But well, I guess you found a good one.
What's sad is every once in a while somebody will throw a good comment on there, but unfortunately it's like
just buried.
It's the slim bologna in a huge crap bread sandwich.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's like it gets
buried. By the way, don't ever make crap bread. It's a horrible idea.
The yeast in that just does not rise. So anyway, this comes to Matt here in San Diego. He wanted us to discuss college versus vocational school.
That's actually a really good topic.
It is. And I'm very passionate about this because I'm going to say that college was the biggest lie ever sold to me. All right? And I'm not saying college is without merit.
Right.
Don't ever go. But the ethos that surrounds it. When I was a kid growing up, the consensus was, go to college or you'll be a loser. That's certainly what my father spun to me is.
It's the only way you get a job.
It's, yeah, college or a loser.
At least it was also, back in the day, because you only had like 20% of people who had any kind of bachelor's degree, back in the day, if you did go to college, you essentially were guaranteed a good job.
And that's another thing, is not only is it bachelor degree or loser, it is bachelor degree waives you from any chance that you'll have any type of struggle or slim times.
Yeah, and that used to be true. There was a time in our parents' generation where that was true,
right?
And now it's not.
Well, because every simpleton, like these celebrities that got their kids into fucking Princeton or whatever, they put their fucking empty-handed kid in school, and they do the bare minimum. You know, they get C's and they squeak their way out. And now, like you said, everyone, it's flooded. Everyone goes to University of Phoenix or Ashford University online.
We have inflation, but for degrees, right?
Right.
The same way that inflation used to work with money, where now it's like a bachelor's degree is basically a high school degree. Now, Ryan and I were talking about this earlier. I used to have a stand-up bit. I was like, you guys ever hear of Arizona State?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think of when you hear of Arizona State? Oh, it's a party school. It's for dumb people. Think about that. We have an entire college for dumb people. Yeah. Like, why do we have that?
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, all right, so what are you supposed to think when the people you trust most, aka my father, my uncles and aunts, their friends, everyone, celebrities on TV doing their disingenuous, like, hey, kids, stay in school. So it was always, you need to go to college. That is the right choice. Getting tattoos and smoking weed will it'll end your life in your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love both of those things.
All true.
Yeah. So anyways, like that's what I believed. I had this indoctrinated fear. If I don't go to college and get any degree, by the way, there was no desertion.
That is a big difference.
Between like, hey, it was like, no, just go to school for anything. Get whatever you want as long as you graduate. Yeah. So go ahead and get that theater degree because you will be so far ahead of the plumber. No! So, and that's nothing. People look down on these trade jobs. You're like, hey, yeah. I'm college educated. Look at this plumber that has to plunge my shit over here. That guy is making $35 an hour.
At least.
You know? So, meanwhile, people that, you know, get a liberal arts degree, there's really nothing out there for them but a sales job they could have gotten without the degree. You know what I mean?
The hardest part about that is the debt that people assume.
Because that's another thing. Is that
another? Yeah, that's another factor in this. Is back then college was cheap.
Yes.
Now it's fucking expensive as shit. It's insane.
It's gotten crazy expensive since I left college, and that was not. It was like 15 years ago or something. It's gotten super expensive.
College
now
is pretty much just a racket.
Not even
now.
15. I left college, I don't know, 12 years ago, and when I left college, I was going to the number one public university in the world. I wasn't paying anything. I was on scholarship, but like my tuition would have been like $2,500 a semester. It's now up at like $7,000 a semester.
I did the math,
and that's still cheap, by the way.
When I got my degree from San Diego State University, I did the math. $88,000 is what I pretty much spent. Now, think about what you can do with that. Invest in a business.
Yeah, buy a house.
Buy a house, or at least put a down payment on one. And the thing is, it's not only like, all right, so it's not harmless. You are spending a lot of money, and you're telling an 18-year-old, 17-year-old sometimes, whose brain, as we've talked about, is not fully developed, pick your life path right now and choose how you're going to spend $88,000 right now. I don't want you getting out of this first 6 months without you first choosing a path.
You know what? I like that approach, though, because if you had said it like that to an 18-year-old, they would all choose the $88,000. Like, just give me the
give
money.
Me the,
I'll figure
cash.
Something out.
Well, that brings up a really good point, too, because, like, I was lucky. Like I said, I was on academic scholarship. I didn't have to pay, but I went to college thinking the same thing, and I went to college knowing from the time I was 12 or 13 years old that I was going to be an attorney. Like, that was my career path. That was my life. Yeah. I was geared towards it. I was very, very good at reasoned argument and logical debate, obviously. And
he talked people out of being in a cult one time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, looking stuff up and making arguments, all of that stuff. I was really good at it.
I was good at Ask Jeeves.
I was the head of, you know, the Berkeley Pre-Law Society at, like, 19. I smashed the LSATs, you know, super early, and I was ready to go.
All right, stop tooting your own horn.
I had a great mushroom trip where I realized, like, oh, that's horrible life, man. Like,
he had a great mushroom trip, and, oh, I didn't do any of that.
No, I had a great mushroom trip, and I was in the middle of an internship in the city in San Francisco, and I remember just watching these guys, and yeah, they were like 24 and driving BMWs and making shitloads of money, but they were also working 70 hours a week, and their entire life was fighting with people. They showed up at 5 a.m., they started fighting with people, they were pissed, angry, blood pressure high.
That's right up your alley.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Fuck that. They had such miserable lives. You could see the life from their faces drain out in like the 3 months I was there at an internship. I just watched people's souls die in front of me, so they became just like the soulless people that were already working there. And I remember thinking, like, I don't want that. You only get one fucking life. I don't want that. Yeah. And then thankfully what they had told you when you got to school was, if you want to go to law school, pick the thing you're interested in studying, because they don't care about pre-law. They want to see good grades. So study something you're interested in, you'll get good grades. So I had studied archaeology, and it ended up working out for me as, you know, moving to be an archaeologist. But you know what? I wouldn't have been able to do that if I wasn't on scholarship, because I was in beginning my junior year. I would have realized I have to pay money back for all the school I've already gone to. I need to go be a lawyer.
Well, here's
and lose
a true story. My father was a lawyer, and he died at 58, pretty much of stress. He died in a street fight, but that was stress induced, and he had a heart attack, and it was weak from all the stress. He died, and he left me after I sold his house and, you know, liquidated everything. He left me $88,000.
Wow.
Hey, Bobby, guess how I spent it?
Wow.
On college, because he said his dying words were like, go to college. What could I have done with that money besides get a fucking theater degree?
Yeah, now, my parents both had good jobs. They put my sister through college at U of M, University of Michigan. And when I was graduating high school, like, here's where my lack of motivation saved them a shit ton of money. Because graduating high school, all my friends, you know, I was in the smart kid classes. They were all applying to U of M or Michigan State or whatever. I only applied to one school, University of Michigan, and I got accepted. But I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do, so I didn't go. I went to a community college for a year.
Oh,
that's
nice.
The best thing you should do.
Yeah.
It's way less money.
You can get your GE credits.
I took a year off, went to a different college.
Yeah.
Different college, moved out here, went to community college here. I ended up taking 14 years to get a bachelor's degree. That by the time I got it, I didn't want to do that anymore.
Oh, man.
And I saved my parents so much money by doing it that way.
Yeah, no, that's true. I saved my parents money because my brother fucked up. My brother's a lot older than me. He's like 11 years older than me.
I didn't even know you had a brother.
Yeah,
I didn't either. You've never mentioned him.
He went to UC Santa Barbara.
Wait, who is this guy?
He's my brother.
Get him on.
He
went to UC Santa Barbara and failed like his first year, because if you guys don't know Santa Barbara, it is a party fucking school. Like, it's on the beach.
I also didn't get in.
the entire school is on the beach. It's a huge party school. It's a big deal. So he went there, partied like crazy, and failed out in 1 year. I think even less than a year. I think he didn't even make it through the second part. He came back, and basically my parents went, we're not paying for your school. you got to figure out your own shit. Your brother fucked up. And I was like, but that wasn't me. And
how much
like,
older is he than you?
11 years.
11 years. So you didn't really grow up with him, really?
Off and on, I did. Yeah, I grew up with him until about the fourth grade.
So
and
what's
then
this guy
out.
Up to now? I got to hear about this brother we've never
he's great.
Heard of.
He lives in the city, you know, has fun.
Has fun. What does that mean?
Lives in the city
what
and
city?
Has fun.
San Francisco.
Okay, the city. You just said the
of course.
City. Like there's only one in the United
right,
States.
Right.
That's the city on the West Coast. You're talking about San Francisco or
there's
New York.
LA, you idiot. There's San
that's
Diego.
That's not a city. That's a fucking, that's LA.
This is why he would get talked into a cult with Scientology.
Right.
This is why my money's on him.
They're like, your brother's already with us.
So what's he do for a living?
He does like transcription.
You don't know what your brother does.
Not really. He like switches. He switches jobs periodically.
He goes into a building every day. I know that much.
I love him. I love him to death. We're drastically different people. He's a conspiracy theorist.
Oh no!
Like, oh, get him on here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, let me have some fun with this guy. Now,
he's got sleeve length tats on his arms
what's
and
wrong
legs,
with that?
And yeah.
But okay, all right, so he's tatted up.
Yeah.
His employment history is not consistent.
He is literally the anti-Bobby.
He's the anti-Bobby.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. He really is.
I bet he wouldn't know how to use a blowgun if he handed him
off. No, right. Of course not. No.
All right, now Bobby.
No, never been in a fight, couldn't use a blowgun.
He's never been in a fight?
No.
So he's a pussy.
No, he's not a pussy. He's just like a dude.
He's just a regular
dude. Dude in the city.
He's not somebody like us who had a weird thing in their youth where we decided to get into cages and fight other humans.
Oh, well, to be fair, I had no direction.
Yeah.
I had no guidance.
Yeah, I actually think of him as much more evolved in that sense. He never had that weird youthful male angst where he's like, you know what, I'm going to climb into this ring with somebody else who's trained how to hit me in the face and then just do that for about 3 years.
How do you prove you have a bigger penis?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And because of that, he's been spared the fate of what's happening a lot in MMA these days. You see the story about BJ Penn?
Ooh.
Yes, he beat up his old lady again.
This is one
mom.
In a string of recent stories
right.
of fighters who've had restraining orders against them and issues where women are saying they've been abusive to me and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Now, you had an interesting take on that. Like, you're not surprised.
No. I mean, it's sad. Obviously.
Yeah, it's of course, it's unfortunate. But
it's
like,
tragic, but it doesn't surprise me.
You know what? It does surprise me because I was always bred around the idea that if you're able to courageously fight another man, you're not a coward that would hit a woman.
Well,
that's how I've always thought.
But you also thought you should fight clean in a street fight.
I did.
But not just that. The reason that it can be surprising is because anybody who's done martial arts and who's trained it enough time knows that the people who are usually the chillest dudes are the best martial artists. Like, I will tell you, every dude who could whip my ass over and over again despite being weighing less than me in the boxing ring in college, that dude would never get into a street fight. That was the calmest motherfucker. You could walk up and slap him in the face and he'd just be like, whatever, I get hit in the face all day, and he'd walk away. Because they're secure in their masculinity. They don't need to prove shit to you on the street because they rock train killers every fucking day they're in the gym, right? So they don't have that bravado that they need to prove. Now, there's two.
But there are guys who have that
yes.
who get into it for that reason.
Yeah, there's war machines. There's always going to be a war machine, right? There's the two things with BJ. One is lots of head trauma. We've all seen him, especially over the last 5 years. I don't think he's won a fight in half a decade, and he's fought a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he has just gotten severe CTE.
That's the big thing. Ryan brought that up. CTE is a huge factor
in
this.
Huge.
Yeah.
And it depends how you fight. And with the way BJ fights, he gets in there, he trades big blows, he takes big hits, and especially recently, he takes a lot of big hits. So that's a problem. Number two, and I've discussed this before, is BJ Penn grew up the rich kid, right?
Right?
Like,
that's why in this case I wasn't surprised at all. Like, he, from everything I know about him, he was just kind of a spoiled asshole.
Yeah.
Like, no one would say no to him.
Yeah.
Everyone was supporting him. He got whatever he wanted.
The reason they call him BJ, by the way, they all have like the same, everybody, every kid in his family, it's like fucking George Foreman, they all have the same name. And he's the youngest. That's why it's Baby J.
Baby J.
So that hence BJ Penn. He was the youngest kid with a whole bunch of older brothers who used to roll around Hawaii as the richest family in the neighborhood and beat the shit out of people,
right?
And so, like, that was a common thing. And he's like, yeah, that's why I learned to fight so well, is because I was constantly fighting as a kid. It's like, yeah, kind of. You would pick fights and you would get into them and your brothers would jump in if you needed them.
Right.
Right.
When you're that guy, you have spent your entire life thinking it's okay to randomly hit people.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The other thing I was explaining to Ryan before the show starts is, like, we think of Hawaii as this idyllic place of, like, fun and sun and flowers and stuff. You get to inland Hawaii off the coach, it is a fucking free-for-all. Like,
get
it
off
is,
the tourist trap, the track that, you know, where you go on vacation. It's like, there's ghettos. It's, like, dangerous.
Huge crystal meth problem,
yeah.
And everybody's fighting the time.
You ever seen Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah.
Hawaii.
My brother, for instance, could not exist there. Everybody fights in Hawaii. Like, everybody fights in Hawaii.
Like, when we talk about going down to TJ and you stay within certain areas. If you go outside of that, Mexico is fucking dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
Hawaii's the same way.
Yeah.
Hawaii's the exact same way. You go to certain areas, it's fucking dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, he grew up kind of feeling entitled to hit people when he was angry at them. You know, there was never a, hey, you don't do that. It was, I'm pissed at my brother, I'm going to rumble with him. I'm pissed at that kid down the street, I'm going to go rumble with him. And there was never any kind of stoppage of that.
And also, he's, like, he's kind of a celebrity out there.
Yeah,
like, everybody
absolutely.
Fucking loves him.
I know.
So he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's always been rich, right? This isn't the rags-to-riches story where the guy grew up in the ghettos and then he became rich. He grew up rich and entitled. And so it's not that surprising. He apparently beat the shit out of his, I don't know if his wife or baby mama, but beat the shit out of her, threatened her family, threatened to beat up her mom and her brothers and everything like that. I think he said at one point.
Tried to wrestle the phone.
Yeah, the report said he tried to wrestle her down and take her phone.
Are you a prodigy black belt? You can't fucking overtake your mom, your baby's mama's phone?
He's always had a problem with takedowns. We all know that. Always had that problem. Yeah, that entire scenario. At one point, I think he was saying, like, they quoted him as saying to his wife, or again, I don't know if his wife or baby mama, like, you think just because you're a woman, you can't get knocked the fuck out? And it's like, man, do you want that?
That kind of mentality is so weird.
Hopefully that's not what's on your tombstone, right? Like,
yeah.
Now, similar, not as bad, but similar kind of path right now being followed by Ryan's favorite fighter, Conor McGregor.
Ooh.
He's getting into a lot of trouble, but with him,
I think he's done, man.
I feel like it's different. It's just all that money and all the coke just really quick, and he just thinks he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, but Conor's also got a different thing going because Conor, his entire career, has been rewarded for having a loud mouth, right?
Right.
Right.
BJ Penn was never really the loud mouth fighter. That wasn't a thing. Conor,
more shit he's talked, the more money has gone in his pocket.
Right.
And if you remember, before Conor McGregor was a household name, when he was still making his way up through the ranks of fighters, he got fights he probably shouldn't have gotten based
on his mouth. He jumped over the cage after he's done, got Aldo's face and went, ah! They're like, yeah, you're the next headliner.
Yeah. He's been rewarded his entire career.
Right.
He talks shit, he gets rewarded. It doesn't matter if he loses. He talks shit after Floyd Mayweather fight, he got rewarded with a Khabib fight, right? Like, no matter what is happening, he's always going to get, like, higher and higher stakes. And so it's not necessarily surprising in that, and he's making so much fucking money from this whiskey business that why not talk a bunch of shit about it? Like, he doesn't have to fight for the rest of his life. His great-grandkids are taken care of. He made $100 million off one fight.
Now, you mentioned the whiskey. I want to ask you guys, did you see the report that came out? I only saw, like, part of it. I guess whiskey sales, in general, for the year have surpassed the $1 billion mark for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And also, in the same thing that I skimmed, it said that Jameson sales are down. And Conor McGregor is taking credit for both of those things.
Yeah, he is.
He's taking credit for cutting into Jameson's business and for boosting whiskey sales over $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's, again, loudmouth, right? He gets the results that way. That's always been good for him. And in this case, it's not necessarily bad, right? He's not, unlike BJ, he's not hurting anybody with this. This is just,
not that we know of.
Though apparently he's also being charged with a brutal rape in Dublin. So maybe he is hurting people too.
Yeah. I always wonder.
Oh, and by the way, Conor, plumber. So that goes back to your vocational school day. Before he went into MMA, he was a tradesman apprentice as a plumber.
Oh, God.
And that undoubtedly caused the rape.
I always wonder what it is like in a celebrity couple when, you know, anywhere from as extreme as Cosby all the way down to Conor McGregor, who is like, it was one time, but he says it was consensual, you know.
Yeah.
How you see them out with their spouse the next day. How are those papers not filed that evening? When
money.
You say, I know, but she's entitled to half of it.
Right,
Camille is still steadfastly defending Bill Cosby.
And going into the papers, like, my husband had all that sex consensually behind my back.
Yeah.
And
insane.
No, insane.
But so let's say Conor goes on trial for this. She's not entitled to half of what he has now. She's entitled to have half of what happens after the divorce, which means this person gets to civilly sue him, and the whiskey sales go down because he's a rapist and everything else. Like, her empire is his empire, and it's built upon this thing, and if all of a sudden it goes away, then she loses her empire too.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know if I could be on the other half of that where, let's say I have a celebrity wife and she's like, Elsa, it comes out like, hey, something really bad went down. Oh, it's okay. I fucked all those dudes consensually.
Yeah.
And I have to sit there like, wasn't great. How do you stay in that?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what Bourdain did, right? Like, Bourdain's girlfriend, it turns out, like, took advantage of a young boy that she was working, that she was, like, the director on a movie, and right. she had played his yeah, mom yeah. since she was 7 years old, and she banged him when he was 16. And, like, that was a deal, and Bourdain came out and, like, arranged the payoff
yeah.
so that she didn't get busted.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, Asia.
Oh, then you probably didn't know this. A lot of conspiracy theorists are saying that they were part of some sort of cult, like cannibalistic cult.
Sex cult.
That would murder. Oh, it was crazy.
Hold on. Let me call my brother.
Get his take on this.
No, but actually circling broad scale back to the whole like vocational school thing. You know, if you look at what we spend in terms of like education to get that $88,000 degree, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some people for whom that is a steal of a deal. If you're going out and you're getting a mechanical or an electrical engineering degree at $88,000, you are going to be making six figures when you come out of college and for the rest of your life because you got that degree.
What I would just really like the shift in tone in this country to be is not be, you need to go to college right. and follow this path. I would like parents to start saying to their kids, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
What do you like?
Totally.
Tell me what you like. Okay, you like playing baseball. Okay, the odds are you're not going to be able to do that, but let's...
You got a terrible arm. Pick something else.
Let's steer you towards something you do like. Or, for instance, like, what do you like doing at school? Oh, you like taking money at the box office for the school plays? All right, well, you can do that, but here's the life you'll have. Let me show you all the options as they exist, and maybe we can find some sort of happy medium. How are you going to handle that with your kid?
Well, I'm going to do something similar, kind of what my parents did. I'm going to kind of let
not
them
pay for the college.
Yeah, right? And my parents kind of had a deal with me. They're like, you need to get scholarships, you need to do
no,
this.
Bruce is the one that gets the college. His next kid doesn't get shit.
And we'll give you like a budget of like $300 to $500 a month to help you live on when you're there, but everything else you got to pay for. So I had to have jobs and stuff. And I actually, in a way, I went both routes, both the academic route and the trades route, because you know what I did when I got there? I realized, shit, because of class schedules and stuff, I can't have a real job.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. So I was the world's only white guy outside the Oakland Home Depot who would get picked up as a day laborer, and yeah. I would go do day labor. And that was my job. That was my gig. And I would get paid in cash, and that's how I made my way through college, right? one of many jobs that I had. But in doing that, you notice that similar to the way the college system works, when you are working in any kind of construction or trades, there is a huge hierarchy based on certifications and experience, right?
Yeah.
If you're an electrician, you're making fucking bank. And if you're a laborer who's shoveling shit, you're making nothing. You're making, by the way, I made below minimum wage because nobody has to pay you anything.
Right.
Right.
They offer you cash and you take it or you don't. And so one of the things I recognized when I was there is like, oh, well, I'm going to be doing this for 4 years. I'm in school, right? And I really like doing this like low voltage stuff, putting in speakers, hanging TVs, doing component stuff. I'm really good at this. I'm good at designing audio systems and putting all this stuff together. And so I got really good at that. And then I ended up like starting a trade business by the time I got out of college doing that kind of stuff, doing low voltage construction. So I was a tradesman in my time and I ran that for a while and it was like fairly fun for me. It wasn't what I wanted to do for my whole life. I got paid way more doing that than I ever did with my degree until maybe like 5 years into my archaeological
yeah.
career. You make way more money doing that. And if that's what you want to do, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with putting speakers in for a living or hanging TVs for a living. The thing you have to remember is, even as a tradesperson, much like all these people are realizing that their jobs are going away because they're truck drivers or something, some of that's going to happen too. Like a plumber is probably always going to have a job. That's a pretty hard thing to automate.
You always transition to MMA.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But like there's a lot of things that go on where as technology evolves, those trades might go obsolete too. Like so a big example is electrician. Right now, the reason electricians make so much money is we run everything in America off 120 volts. It's AC power. It's really powerful. So you have to have all these degrees and certifications to run everything. As we're switching everything to DC power, you can essentially run it with speaker wire. You don't really need a license to do that. And as such, there may be a future where we don't really have electricians in the same way that we currently have them now because technology got better. So it's not just the academic stuff where that degree might not be worthwhile in 10 years. Sometimes the trades degrees might not be worthwhile in a very short amount of
Ryan,
time.
Ryan, is it just me or do you feel like once, maybe twice an episode, he switches into science faction mode.
Yeah.
Starts like going
wearing the
on,
shirt.
And I kind of trail off a little bit. I'm like, what was he talking about?
I've been miles away for about the last 20 minutes.
You're absolutely right. Like, there's two things that would be great for this country. First of all, is to stop saying that you have to go to college.
Yeah. Yeah.
And second would be, why is it so goddamn expensive?
Yes.
When it used to not be. But the thing is, it's become an industry.
Yeah.
Just the same way as like electric cars might be better. But gasoline-powered cars, that's a fucking industry.
Yeah.
And that is entrenched, and we're not getting
and
away from that.
And not only is it...
It's, college is the same way.
It's multiple industries, because it's college, but it's also the financing for college.
It's
which,
a
by
racket.
The way,
it's like, you just got married. You know the wedding racket.
Yeah.
Like, right. If you say you're doing a wedding, they charge you way more.
Yep.
College is the same way. It's a fucking racket. It's
You know, that's what I think Bernie Sanders has wrong, is Bernie Sanders, like, there should be free college for everybody. I'm like, how about we just stop telling kids they need that liberal arts degree? How about that? That would be... Let's start outlining... future is better for kids so that they know that they can do something other than college.
I have a modified Bernie Sanders degree. Free college for everybody with a B or better average. I think if you are going to contribute to society, great. It is worth an investment in you to make you smarter and better at what
you
do.
How about no liberal arts degree? No theater degrees are free. No bullshit degrees are free. Business administration, that's for free.
Communications, go for it.
No. That communications degree's gone. Basket weaving's gone. Bowling, that's a class. Yeah, that's what I'd like to see. I would just like to see, hey, kids, you don't have to just do college. Here is vocational school. Here's how much you make. Show people the houses those people live in when they have those jobs. How about that?
Yeah, well, that, and then also just say, I think what you said in the beginning was the most important. What do you want to do, right? Like,
what do you want to do?
Because if you were to have asked me when I was 16, what do you want to do? I'd say, I want to be a lawyer. And then if somebody said, okay, well, then let's look really in depth at what that means, at some point I'd realize, wait, I don't necessarily want this, but it makes so much money. Look
right.
at how much you can,
yeah.
look at this lifestyle. Yeah, okay, but I don't really want that. So you ask somebody, what do you really want to do? Take the money out of it for a second, because I live perfectly comfortable life being an archaeologist. I'm not super wealthy. I live a perfectly comfortable life.
The biggest kick in the balls for me is when I tell people, like, I really didn't need my degree. I kind of wasted 4 years. They go, but you were a theater major and an English major. You're a stand-up comic. I'm like, those degrees put me maybe 2 months ahead of the game. You know, all the people that I open for that make more money, guess what they don't have? Degrees and anything.
Do you think that maybe it inspired you to get on stage?
Yes, it absolutely
and,
did.
And made you comfortable on stage?
Yes,
like,
it did.
So to that extent, you know?
It did, but that wasn't worth $88,000.
Now, Bobby, what you were talking about is find out what you want to do. Don't go for the money.
Yes.
You're like the opposite of that movie, Pursuit of Happiness, with Will Smith, which was a hugely popular and successful movie.
I abandoned my son in that train station.
The entire premise of that, which was a true story, by the way, is that guy was struggling. He was homeless. He had a kid. No place to live.
Yeah.
He saw a guy pull up to some building in a Ferrari, and he went up. He's like, I got two questions for you. What do you do, and how do you do it? And then he got into, like, the finance market, whatever, stocks and shit.
But it's telling because—
So he followed the money,
right,
which is the exact opposite.
It's telling because the true story of that guy, according to everybody who knew him, is he was a horrible asshole, and, like, nobody liked it. He was a really bad person, and, like, they totally whitewashed him for that movie to make him seem like a nice guy so he's likable, but everybody's like, oh, yeah, every one of his ex-wives hopes he's dead. And
well, yeah, that would make sense for someone who would go for money first. Like, oh, that's an awesome car.
Yeah.
I want to do what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, think about this. Just level this up. You get one chance in life. One chance. You don't get to
I'm
go
on my
back.
Third right now, so I don't know.
You don't get to go back and be 16 again, and you don't get to go back and be 25 again, right? Even right now, you could be 50 years old. You still have whatever it is, 20, 30 years left in your life to do something you actually want to do. And I don't care how much they're paying you, if you're not doing what you want to do and you're just doing it for money, then what is it that you get at the end? Because somebody's going to punch your ticket and you're just going to be like, I got this amazing miracle we call existence and I fucking wasted it, right?
See,
but I made $150,000 a year.
But that's where I'm at without the money part. I'm 47. I still don't know what I want to do.
Perfect. So I think this is a perfect way to end it. I think that should be a class in high school. Everybody says, oh, we should have a class about how to pay bills and
how to balance a checkbook.
And how to balance a checkbook. Fine. That's true. That's good civics. Yeah, fine. Let's talk about something that's more important, because guess what? We've all found a way to balance checkbooks and bullshit like that. You know what most people don't figure out? What they want to do. Let's have a class that's called, what do you want to do with your life? What do you like doing? Hey, for me, I loved science. But you know what my problem was? When I was in the physics lab and I was a physics major, it sucked. I hated being inside all the time. Discovered archaeology. I love archaeology. I can go run around and hike outside. Great. I found something I love. This is fantastic. Why don't we do that with kids? Why do we spend so much time worrying about telling them, this is what you have to do to get into college, as opposed to this is what you have to do what you want for the rest of your life.
This is an oddly positive ending for an episode of
Right.
Us, I feel like. Not that we end negative, but this feels like it's going to end with that little star going, the more you know.
Also, don't hit your wife.
Good way to end it. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying, don't hit your wife, cruising with the twos.
Of course it's a choice to be gay. We'd all choose it if we could.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by.
motherfucking time is passing